Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, for He is good. For He is good. I will rejoice.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. And now we are finishing up this week. We started the week off by looking at Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 19, and we took our sermon, I Tell You With Tears, and broke it up into four segments, and verses 12 and 13, then verse 14, then verses 15 and 16, and then verses 17 through 19. Press on and going towards the goal, maturing minds, and I Tell You With Tears. And really, that was what our sermon was. And if you want to hear the whole thing at once, you can hit on sermons there, and you can find it right there. Or you can listen to any of these programs again and see the text. Hit on Vision Radio if you want to hear just the audio, but if you want to see the text as well, hit on Daily Blog and you can see and hear and leave comments, or you can email me, PastorJD@voiceofvision.org. But I thought I'd finish up this week with something that we called Saved to Serve. Saved to Serve, that we took from Philippians 3:18, that kind of goes along with this in a sense, because it gives us an indication. Paul was indicating that, you know, even though God declares us righteous, and we have the righteousness that is justification by faith, Christ's righteousness imputed to us and given to us, and God declaring us righteous, we still, if we are Christians, we will press on. If we are maturing, we'll do that. And he also says, look, there's no middle ground here. You're either doing that, or you are walking as an enemy of the cross of Christ. You are either going to press on, or you are indeed going to fall away. So again, our title today is called Saved to Serve. And we'll look at, again, verse 3:18. Chapter 3, verse 18 says, there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ, when they thought they were not. See, now Paul had earlier spoken of the legalists, you know, in chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Let me go ahead and get my Bible out here, and we'll read that. And again, this is Philippians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, and he says, look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh, for we are the real circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. So he's talking about legalists and all of that and the old Judaistic religion, and then he goes into all the accomplishments he had in it and said it's not worth anything. All the prestige, the performance, the power, the position that Paul had, he said, I count that as loss in verse 8. And then he says, you know, indeed, I've lost all things. He was in jail when he wrote Philippians, the epistle of joy. And he goes, now I count them as rubbish compared to the surpassing worth of Christ. And people that aren't pressing on really aren't seeing the surpassing worth of Christ. And if you don't see the surpassing worth of Christ, friend, you haven't seen Christ. And we are saved to serve. Again, Paul had earlier spoken of the legalists. Now he speaks of the libertines. You're to forget the legalist path, you know, the make-your-own-way types of the past. But you're not to swing the pendulum too far. Your obedience is not the root of your justification, as the legalist would say. But it is the fruit of your justification, as the libertines wouldn't say. You know, grace by faith in Christ alone, this is what saves you. The fruit is not the root, but the root will produce fruit. You're not justified by your works, but if you're justified, you will do works, because we just quoted Ephesians 2:8. We are saved by grace through faith, that not of your own self, lest any man should boast. But we are saved unto good works that God foreordained that we would walk in them. That's Ephesians 2:10. So if God foreordained that you were going to be saved, believe me, He foreordained that you were going to work. Faith without works is dead, and dead faith cannot be a born-again faith, my friend. Again, your obedience is not the root of your justification, as the legalist would try to say. But it is the fruit of your justification, which the libertines wouldn't say. Good works do not save you, but you are saved unto good works. Grace is a teacher. You know, in Titus chapter 1, 15 and 16, Paul's writing to Titus, and he says, look at these guys. They profess to know God, but in everything they do, they deny Him. They're not real, he says. In chapter 2, he gives all these things that we're supposed to do, and the way old men and old women and children and even slaves and everything in between, that grace that appears to all men teaches us to avoid ungodliness and to walk as a peculiar people, zealous for good works. And that's Paul talking to Titus. He's saying, this is what you look for. And he tells us here in Philippians, this is what you look for. Some are not walking the walk, and they talk a different talk. It's all about what they're allowed to do. They use liberty as a license, and they are deceived. I mentioned this last broadcast, and I want to make sure you're aware of this fact. It is not those who don't even claim the name of Christ that Paul's talking about in this passage. It is people who say they're Christians, but who remain self-indulgent, who don't press on to maturity, who keep feeding their old man. You know what I mean? I don't mean your father. I mean your old self, the old nature. You keep living in it, and you try and justify it by saying that we're all allowed or that even somehow it's right. But Paul says, do we sin more that grace may abound more? God forbid, he says. No way. Don't kid yourself. But these kind of people are ripe for deception. They're already deceived. It's not even those that are trapped in sin, even, that Paul's discussing and warning about. It's those who defiantly state that they are of Christ, but who won't take their self-indulgent old man to the cross. That's why Paul says to be following him and those who walk right, because there are many who don't, and they are dangerous. When you're saved to serve, and that means others, not serving yourself, like the people Paul warns about here. When you won't go to church, what are you doing? Think about it. In order to get your food, you must always do what? Serve yourself. And you never serve others, do you? And this prevents others from serving you. Paul says beware, because these types tend to try and gain converts to appease their conscience. Other biblical writers warn us also. Jude 1, 3-5, you know, obedience is believing, acting in accordance with what you believe, that sin is bad and that Christ delivered us from its bondage. I told you yesterday you ought to read Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 8 through 10. You know, how can you say you're delivered and walk like you're in bondage? You know, look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 2, 10, 14, 18 through 20. Let me just talk about these people that Peter is saying, you know, they deny the Lord that's even bought them, and they're in verse 2, they're sensual, and verse 10, they despise authority. In other words, they won't learn in community. They won't follow patterns. They must make their own. Verse 14, they try and recruit others who don't know any better. Verse 18, they appeal to the flesh of those who are still struggling with it. Verse 19, we see that they talk of freedom, but they're slaves to sin and self. Verse 20, they're unfruitful in their knowledge. 2 Peter 1:8, Hosea 4:6-10. There's just so many verses I could get to today, but I'd have to spend all day doing it. You can get the transcript copy of this. We'll send you the CD if you want it. But what does he say about these people who walk as enemies of the cross of Christ? They say they walk in the kingdom of light, but they walk in darkness. He doesn't say, well, you know, it's okay. He says their end is destruction. Whose God is their belly or their own appetites. They live for the pleasures of the body, the mind, and the soul. With smooth talk and flattering words, they try to bring others to their cause. Romans 16:18. They try to win others to this view, which is why they're doubly dangerous. It spreads. Why? Because it's an easy way. It's easy to say, well, you know, yeah, I trust in Jesus, sure. And then never become a disciple. But let me tell you something, friends. Disciple is not some special category. Those that are pressing on to the mark for the prize, the high call, the upward call in Christ Jesus, that's not some special group. Those are Christians, and everybody else is not. Again, it's not how far, how fast, how full, but what faith. Are you on the road? Not how far down the road. Are you on the road? And he says, if you're not going forward on the road, you're not actually on the road. People like that, their feelings, their emotions, their passions rule them. Meaning they do what they want to do. Their God is their own selfish desires with its self-indulgent agenda. They're proud of their liberty, thinking they're more enlightened than those whom they see as, you know, more narrow-minded, and they're constantly trying to defend their quote-unquote right to import this or that practice from the world. They're worldly. They thought they could be whatever they wanted to be, worship however they wanted to, and approach a holy God any way they saw fit and still keep Jesus too. They wouldn't let anybody correct them. They wouldn't accept rebuke or be admonished. Think about the passage here. Listen to the last few days. You'll know what I'm saying here. They thought they knew better. They're not broken by their sin, and instead of falling on Christ, He will fall on them to their peril. Matthew 21:44. They wouldn't suffer the death of the flesh. They are enemies. Think about the language Paul is using. Enemies of the cross of Christ. Imagine that saying to somebody in our churches today. Boy, he would catch a lot of flack, and I'm about to catch a lot of flack for saying what I'm going to say. Most of the people in our churches are enemies of the cross. And all people that aren't in churches, all are enemies of the cross. Because Christ on the cross died for the church. You're saying, well, that's not an institutional thing. Friend, you need to go on voiceofvision.org and look at our sideline that says why you have to go to church. Do you have to go to church to be a Christian? No. Do you have to go to church when you're a Christian? Yes. Christians press on and they get around people of like-minded faith. He says, let those that are mature think this way. Right? I could go on and on, but that's another subject. But in this way, they're enemies of the cross. They may have thought they believed in it for Jesus. And indeed, that is what it takes to be saved. Jesus dying on the cross, believing that He died on the cross for your sins, is a saving knowledge of Christ. However, the Bible clearly teaches that this knowledge, if held in truth, will cause a believer to also follow Jesus to the cross. Godliness teaches us to become more and more repentant. Our lives will progressively become more and more unlike the world. Not like the world. Now again, the degree of effectiveness in an individual's life is not the question. The resolve to do it at all, or deny the need to, is the matter at hand. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 5 sometime. The desire to become sanctified in practice, rather than defiantly avoiding the possibility of going to the cross, for the gradual death of the self-life, that is the question. In essence, the people that are enemies of the cross of Christ deny this saving knowledge in practice, if not in doctrine, by not believing in and following Jesus to the cross in their own life. They become progressively more and more deceived. Their faith was proven not to be real. And they are damned. Folks, those people that won't go to church wind up serving themselves. And that isn't why we're saved. We're saved to serve, not ourselves, but one another. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, one with the Lord Jesus Christ, and one with each other. Well, again, you can email me, Pastor J.D. at voiceofvision.org, and we'll talk some about it. We hope to see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast. This is Pastor J.D. Hatfield. God bless you. Press on.
Next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.